We're back on Milwaukee Public Radio. You're listening to Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. This weekend, the Milwaukee Ballet opens its season with a production of artistic director Michael Pink's adaptation of Puccini's La Bohème.
Ahead of those performances, we invited Pink, along with dancer and resident choreographer Tim O'Donnell, into the studio to look ahead at the season. Pink starts with an update on the company itself.
The company is going extremely well. We've had another wonderful financial year. We ended with a balanced budget. We have, as you know, we're looking forward to investigating more the potential of a new home. We've purchased land in the Third Ward. Very exciting. And we have, as always, at the beginning of every season, we have an intake of new dancers, not just in our second company, which is the Milwaukee Ballet Troupe, but also in the main company. And that's always very exciting because it's the beginning of a new relationship. And it's interesting for me to see how those new dancers come in, how they integrate themselves within the company, and then the journey of getting to know them. And a production like La Bohème, which is fundamentally a production built on principal characters, is an interesting one for me. If some of those new dancers are cast in those roles, you get an opportunity to really work closely with them. As always, the school continues to grow, and we have new people coming in, new choreography happening, so many wonderful things happening, as indeed is happening in the city as well. The growth that we're seeing around us, where you are here in the studio, just to look around and see all the cranes in the sky. It's a very exciting time, and it feels about right because I've been here 16 years, and I couldn't wait much longer, you know.
For things to change.
Yeah, well, things to grow, things to move, yeah.
Yeah. One of the other things that's really happening, it seems to be, this has always been something that you and Mark Clements and Bill Forescu have done, but now seem to be doing more, a lot of collaboration between the companies and finding ways to bring dancers into productions, the opera that just happened with The Merry Widow, and other things like that. Do you see that growing?
I do, and I think there's a real appetite for that level of growth. It's complicated in terms of just managing people's time and availability and resources, but it's very rewarding when you can achieve it. And indeed, we're very optimistic that where there is a will, there is a way to make these things work. And they are, of course, they're a benefit and asset for the community. And they help, I think, bring people closer to the realization that there are an awful lot of extremely talented artists and organizations in this city. Because I still meet people who have no idea there's a ballet company in town or an opera company. So whilst that remains, then the more we need to promote ourselves, work together, and encourage the audience to really feel confident about going to the theatre and then develop some healthy opinions about things. Because I love hearing what people have to say, even though sometimes it's not particularly encouraging, shall we say. It's still good to hear people have a point of view about things. Would that everybody would really air their points of view more about things. And then we can, you know, we can all grow from that.
Exactly. And I was also thinking that with this kind of collaboration, you get the chance of cross-pollination with audiences. Maybe somebody who would never have gone to the ballet before sees something in another kind of concert that they do go to, and they say, wait a minute.
That would absolutely be the hope that people really would. And that's about confidence, just getting the confidence to step over the threshold into the theater, not really expecting too much other than to sit down and let it happen in front of you, and then have a point of view about that. And I think that's part of, I know Tim and all of the younger dancers in the company feel very strongly about when they're out in the community talking up the ballet, talking up other events, so that people also understand that ballet is a young person's art form. And these are very young, dedicated, focused people. And they want to feel that their contemporaries and the people that they're socializing with will come and support them and see them. Because if we can get people at that age level involved, then I think that will benefit all of the arts community. Because hopefully they'll stay and they'll be curious and
right.
want to find out more.
And they create a lifelong relationship
with it.
Yeah. And Tim, so bringing you in on this, you're one of the resident, not only a dancer, but a resident choreographer now too,
That's
right?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, so how does that feel, stepping in? I mean, you've been doing choreography all along, and we've talked many times about different things that you've said on the dancers, but, you know, how does it feel to be one of the people doing that all the time now?
It's fantastic being the resident choreographer. I think it's a great honor, and it's something a lot of young choreographers strive for. I do feel a little bit like it makes me question myself more than I used to, because I think when I was just a choreographer, I think anyone was impressed that I'd done anything. But now, whether or not it's true, I probably put a lot more expectation on myself to create something good and valuable for the company or wherever else I happen to be working. But in this company, we've got so many young choreographers. This is really exciting. We've got a season coming up later in the year where five of us will be creating new work for the company. So I'm not the only young choreographer here.
Right. The pressure isn't just on you. But does having that structure behind you allow you more freedom as a choreographer as opposed to going in like one time and doing something?
I think it makes it a lot easier when working with the dancers because I'm so familiar with the way they move and the way they perform and the way they're going to interpret my own movement. Like I know if I do a step like this, I hate the step on my body, but I know I'm going to love it on his body or on her body. So that makes it easier. But sometimes there's something exciting about working with people you don't know as well, which is what we're experiencing now with new dancers coming in that Michael was talking about before. They take things to new places.
Right. I was going to say that it just changes the dynamic all the way around. It's that whole new blood infusion idea.
Absolutely. It's like getting a new set of paints sometimes.
Right.
New colors.
You see different things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I imagine that's amazingly exciting.
Yeah.
And so you're still dancing, though, too. So you're wearing a couple of hats.
Yes, a few. I also do some work with the marketing team as well.
Do you pay him for all of these things, Michael?
We do. We give him a one-time payment, and then we make him do everything.
Okay.
It's a wonderful relationship.
Yeah.
But actually, what Tim was just saying, his work with the marketing department, I think for a year prior to Tim coming back, because people will remember he was a winner of the Genesis choreographic competition, I think he took a year out, and he was doing graphic design and working in marketing ideas, which is, for me, that's so exciting because nobody can really speak better about an art form than an artist themselves and somebody who is living through it, experiencing somebody like Tim who has so many interests and so many avenues to be able to explore that it's just so exciting. I love the idea of regenerating our dancers as much as possible back into the organization. If I could have a company of dancers and then a management that is just filled with talented dancers who have other skills, I think that would be so... Well, I know. I don't even think.
I was going to say, you kind of have that already.
We do. Yeah. And it's something we've really been building on and down to the teaching faculty. So it's a great opportunity here in Milwaukee again. And I think that's because there's a good working environment. It's a slow-paced place, as we know. People take things slowly. They think about them. And then when they move forward and they make a commitment, they really do make a commitment. And we're finding that so many of the dancers are happy to call Milwaukee home whilst being a professional artist and then in life beyond that, which I think is something that the city can feel very proud about as much as we do.
So talk about Bohème. That is the first one of this season, and it's coming up very quickly.
La Bohème, indeed, yes. We premiered this in 2012. Tim originated the role of Marcello, who is the second of the two male leads in the production, Rodolfo and Marcello. It's very exciting for it to come back. I mean, for opera lovers, it is the Bohème that you know and love without the singing. But I will say that as we found out in 12, and I think we're going to find out again here in 17, is that it's a new experience. Without the wonderful, glorious voices, it's still an incredible experience to listen to Puccini and almost pay more attention to the music than you do when the singer is on stage. It's a very, very powerful, emotional experience. And what the ballet can bring to the story and to the music is this youthful agility, this physicality that just doesn't happen in operas because of the nature of the art form. And as I look at it, I said last night to Luth San Miguel, who is once again coming back as Mimi and is now transitioning into my ballet mistress, that I need to go back and look at the opera again now because I've now become so immersed in the ballet version that I need to just take a step back just to remind myself of what potentially are the strengths and weaknesses of doing it as a ballet. It's also very, very exciting and very rare that I get a chance to really be a director. And when I say a director, I mean a theater director. We have had the luxury of time to be able to explore the what-ifs. what if you do this? And this doesn't quite make sense. So how do we maneuver around? And it's the minutiae. If I just stand on this side and I'm here, it's stronger. Little things that we never have time to do. So I am so excited about that. I'm treating and spoiling myself, because once we get to Beauty and the Beast, which is another world premiere, that isn't going to happen.
No, you're going to be sort of on the
we're going to be
the
churning,
rocket ship.
Churning it out 100 miles an hour. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you know, Boheme lends itself. There's something about both the story and the score that lends itself to lots of interesting treatments. I mean, Tim, one of your countrymen, Baz Luhrmann, did an amazing production of it.
Yeah, with the Australian Opera, yeah.
With the Australian Opera, mm-hmm. that was both sung but had wonderful movement in mm-hmm. it, and it was kind of that mix. And there's something about it, even if when you know what happens, you want to see what happens.
Well, I mean, you know, Rent was just at the PAC.
Yeah.
That's a modern adaptation of La Boheme. Yeah, I think it was really the Baz Luhrmann. I saw a video of the...
That's what I did, too. I wasn't there.
Yeah. And that confirmed my thoughts about how well this would translate. Because, yes, it's very cinematic. His wife did an extraordinary job in designing the space, as always. And then, of course, it went to Broadway for... and had three casts for the principal roles, and they did 8 shows a week, and it really brought it closer to a new generation of people, and so I'm hoping that the ballet will do that again. It will re-engage people, it will introduce people, and people will be rushing to see the opera, and also rushing to find other videos of it, because it's timeless. It's about Bohemian artists, which we qualify on every single level.
Particularly the poverty part.
The poverty part, indeed, and having to live. We know where some of them live. And the conditions.
In the garrets.
In the garrets, yes. Yeah. So it lends itself in every level. And again, the intimacy that can be created. And when I think about our PAC stage, which I try not to do too often because it's so large and overbearing half the time, to be able to have an intimate scene where just the delicate touch of a hand on the face can be read from the back of the house and have emotional impact is just very exciting. And it's a testament to all the years of work that we've done here and the company of dancers that we've had. Now, again, working with Tim, because he's such a talented choreographer, it's wonderful for me out of the corner of my eye to always watch what Tim is doing. And I thought, well, yeah, let's do it like that. The same that I do with all other dancers. But it's Tim and I have built up such a strong relationship where he really feels he can contribute at every given time, even if it's not stuff he's doing, he's not involved with. And I really welcome that contribution, because it takes an army to produce these things.
So almost like an assistant director.
Well, from the back corner, I suppose.
From the back corner, yeah. No. So are you dancing? Are you Marcello?
I am.
Oh,
I am for
wonderful.
One of the casts. We have 2 casts this time, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
Do you have more performances this time where everyone gets a chance?
No, we still, sadly, we only have the 4 performances, so 2 each. We won't talk about that. But we will look to the future, because just maybe if we have a little bit more time in the hall, we can move to the much desired 2 weekends of these productions. That is part of my goal, because I do believe as our city grows that we should be able to perform for 2 weekends. Most other companies around the country of our scale are doing that already, and it works.
It was highly successful when we did Dorian Gray. It also gives us time as a company to do the weekend, to then go back to the studio to have a think about how some things work, and then take it back to the stage again. So I think for everyone it works.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, just artistically, it gives you a chance to work out some of the kinks and also, like you say, think about it and come back with that. Even though it's only a few days of a break, you have a chance to come back and say, ooh, let's try this.
And also for word of mouth, for our marketing department as well. It gives us a whole week for people who have firstly seen the production to get out in the community and say things, because we open here on a Thursday. And sometimes by Sunday, you know, those people haven't seen all their friends, or it's too late for them to suddenly buy tickets. But being able to think a week in advance is fantastic.
Yeah. So, there are many, many benefits to doing that. And
right.
that's one of my my goals, is to make sure that happens. Because it is soul-destroying to spend 5 weeks in the studio working 6-7 hours a day to create something, to fine-tune, to explore, and then to get into the theater and everything's going on, the lights and the music and everything happens, and you open and close in the same weekend. It's soul-destroying. there are times when I just think, really, is it worth it? Of course it is, because it's capturing a moment of what we do very well. But boy, that's the reason why Nutcracker, we love Nutcracker so much, even though we do it year upon year, is you get to go into the theater, unpack, and stay there for 3 weeks.
It must feel like forever.
Well, it kind of does. I mean, yeah. I've noticed some of the dancers bring the you know, the kettle and the TV and start to make it look like home, which is what you do if you're in a Broadway show or something. You're going to sit down for 2 years and do it. But that's a wonderful opportunity. And the most important thing is that you grow as an artist when you practice your art form in front of a live audience who give you feedback. The more you can do that, the more you can grow, which is back to where I come from, and certainly from the same with Australian Ballet, doing many, many more performances of any one show. In England, we would do probably 200 performances a year with 3 programs. Well, here we do 5 programs.
And 4 performances like, each. Yeah,
then apart from the Nutcracker. So the balance is slightly out of whack, really, if one is thinking about it. The opera and the ballet are very expensive art forms to produce, because we want to make sure that we have live music, and we want to make sure we need a lot of costumes and we need the space. Well, if we could just play it for a longer spell, we'd have a chance to recoup some of those costs and grow as artists and as an organization.
Well, here's hoping.
No, I'm going to make it happen.
Make it happen.
I'm going to make
okay.
it happen.
Okay. Yeah. And we will talk about it when that happens. So, gentlemen, I want to thank you both for coming in. Best of luck. And I am looking forward to seeing Bohème again, because I saw it 5 years ago, and I am so looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, theater still is a place you can escape to and leave the rest outside.
Sit down with some beauty. That can't be wrong.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
And if you did say it last time, it has evolved, definitely.
Oh, good.
For this run.
Okay.
Oh,
well, I would hope so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, expect. And you're 5 years older, and you're a different dancer.
Thanks for bringing
like
that up.
Like a fine wine, we have matured.
But you don't look it at all, Tim. You look fabulous.
You.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much.
Bonnie, thank you.
Michael Pink is artistic director, and Tim O'Donnell is leading artist and resident choreographer for the Milwaukee Ballet. Michael Pink's La Boheme opens Thursday evening and runs through the weekend at Eline Hall. There is more information at wuwm.com.